Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 527 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined, as always, once again, making his triumphant return, Ben Funky Askren. He missed his first show since being on the show, but now he's back. Ben, hello.
Happy to be back, Pyle.
Ha, 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 ha. Very funny. Very funny. Hey, listen, man. You can make fun all you want. People were a big fan of the JLP Sonnen show when he was on.
I was also.
Yeah.
I was as well.
Were you inspired? Are you going to now come after me and just, like, have your own version of the truth for various topics like Chael did?
Okay, let's see. What were my favorite things that Chael did? I didn't get to watch the whole thing because I was in the airport. I love that he kept calling you Pyle. That, I know he knows that's not your name.
So yes, he does. He definitely does.
That was good. His insistence that Kyle Dake and Rhys Humphrey wrestled in the NCAA Finals.
I like it. He said, he's like, the worst part is we'll never know. There's literally no way to find out. He said, I like when he said, I think the funniest one that I kind of forgot about was like, yes, does that really need said that he's not going to actually stab him? And Jordan Burroughs is not literally a bear either. I thought that was funny. Did you hear that part, Ben?
No, what was that? I missed that.
Okay, so at one, you know, the interview, Kyle Dake says, I don't want to poke the bear, I want to stab the bear. And then I made some, I don't know why I said it, but I was like, yeah, obviously he doesn't want to stab him. He's like, does that really need said that obviously he doesn't want to stab him? Is it also, he's not literally a bear? It was very funny. He was on one. I like how he blamed me for cropping his face when he wouldn't position his face in front of the. It was
I like that.
Also, it was a wild ride.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, so people want him on more. We'll see. Maybe not.
People wanted him and Ben on together.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we're just going to get phased out of our own show, Bracky.
Oh my gosh. Look at the Facebook chat. He said, I once won $20 betting Chael about the Rhys Montel thing. No lie. So Chael's been set straight more than once on this. This is the guy's name is Joe Michael. I don't know him. But apparently he has set Chael straight more than once. And Chael just will not get it through his head.
He just does not want to accept it. And there's the hard part is that there's no way to prove it or know what happened, right? That's the tough part. But, hey, Ben's back. The reason Ben wasn't here is because he's flying to see us, spend the weekend deep in the heart of Texas and had the event July 25th. So, Ben, let's talk about it. Thoughts on the matches? We had five great bouts. We're basically haven't stopped since the event ended, working on our next card.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. I thought the event went really well. Obviously, we had the one slip up, not ideal, not on UI or Kyle, but we fought through it.
I thought that was actually your thing, Ben.
You know, you're right. You got me. I lied. My side job is actually, you know, in website engineering.
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about that. I'm relatively clueless on the production. I don't write code. I don't do any of that stuff. I have no idea how to do it. I love my title today. Thanks, Kyle. I know you do those. That's funny.
Yeah.
But, man, the matches went awesome. And, you know, what I'm even more excited about is the feedback we've gotten from wrestlers since Saturday night. I mean, you know, I didn't freaking go to sleep till like 2 a.m. on Saturday night because I was just freaking hammering it. I woke up. I was on the plane freaking hammering my keyboard, sending people messages, people messaging me. We have a whole bunch of people who want to wrestle. And so now we just got to put some cards on.
Yep, we have a date identified. We won't release that just yet, but we feel pretty sure we're going to have one within a month or so, and that's the goal. That's what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
And very exciting.
And then also ideally a bunch, right, Christian?
Yeah.
After that.
I mean, the whole point of July 25th was, okay, let's see what we can do. Let's see if the demand was there. Obviously, you guys know with the issue, there was tremendous demand for this event, right? Yes, highly disappointing and discouraging that we had our issue. That's all I'll probably say about it, though I'd love to say more. But yeah, that was very embarrassing. And but either way, one thing we were looking for is let's prove that people want this. People really, really want this. Yeah. Maybe more than we realize. So with that, we want to do it more. So we passed the first test, and we can't do anything but thank you guys for wanting to watch wrestling and being excited, because without that, there is nothing. There is no Flow Wrestling without you guys, right? That's the only way this happens. So thank you for that. And we have our sights on bigger and better cards and more people, and having some of these athletes involved again obviously is a goal. David Taylor and Kyle Dake, after their wins, had some pretty – substantial call-outs. David calling out Sagulayev, the number one wrestler in the world, bar none, pound for pound.
After and we made contact with the Russians. It's not going to be easy getting them soon because there is Russian Nationals in September. But no, we have made contact, and that is we want to bring the Russians over, that's for sure.
Yeah, we absolutely do. What I'm curious about is Russian Nationals in September. Is that for the 2020 Worlds that they think is going to happen? I mean, it couldn't be their Olympic trials, right?
Well, this is interesting. I wouldn't think so. I'd imagine it's for the Worlds, allegedly. But Christian, USA Wrestling just last week, actually I think it was Thursday, announced that they're having their U.S. Open in October. October what?
9th through 11th.
9th through 11th. Mm-hmm. Right away, I had so many questions. It's like, okay, is this qualification for Worlds? Is it all 10 weights? Does it affect seating for the Olympic trials? Is it a qualifier for the Olympic trials for those who are not qualified? If it is a qualifier for the Worlds, then does that Worlds then affect the following, you know, the seating for the following
Olympic trials? We have some answers. You're in luck, Ben, because we have answers to all those things.
Hey, good. I'm so excited. Let's go, Pyle.
Well, start naming off your questions again, and I'll answer
Okay. them. Is this a qualifier for the 2020 Worlds?
If there is a world, it will change. But as of right now, no.
Okay.
But if there is worlds, it will be a if they confirm. I guess this would be a qualifier. This would become a qualifier for the 2020 World Championships.
Okay.
They're waiting to see what weights. It's six weights right now. But if they do have worlds, it will become 10 weights. They're waiting to see what United World Wrestling decides here in a few weeks.
Okay. Is it a qualifier for the 2021 Olympic trials?
No.
It is not.
It is not.
Okay. Does it affect seating for the 2021 Olympic trials?
That I don't know. I don't think there's anything about seating in there.
There will be seating at this. Will the results affect seating at the Olympic trials? Capital, yes.
There you go.
As with any senior-level competition in the USA or internationally, head-to-head matches and or common opponents from this event can be considered for seating at the Olympic trials.
So would the best guys, the guys who already have the really high seeds, be non-incentivized to go?
they are not incentivized to go. There is no incentive for elite guys to go other than mat time. There's nothing time. Unless you're if you're qualified. I mean,
you know,
all you can do is hurt your seed.
If they want mat time, you know, we could pay them for mat time. They could go to Iowa City and do it for free, or we could just pay them.
Either way, I'm fine with. Would love to pay them. we're paying out some serious cash. Then, come and get it.
Last question then is: does the world? So right, does the qualifier for if the Worlds happens? Is the Worlds then a seeding criteria for the Olympic trials?
Well, I would say absolutely, right? If you win Worlds, you would probably get the bye to the final. So if they say, hey, we're having Worlds, it would be pandemonium.
Well, okay, but that could be a disaster, correct? I mean, so I know USA Wrestling failed to draw the correct bracket for 74 kilograms, and I drew it out for them. But let's say Jordan and Kyle say, well, listen, I'm already got a bye to the semis or whatever, right? I'm not going to go wrestle at the U.S. Open and the Worlds. Flo's going to pay me to wrestle, so I'll just do it for them. And let's see. Jason Nolf wins because those two aren't there and Imar's hurt. Jason Nolf wins the U.S. Open and he goes to Worlds and he gets a medal.
No, dude.
Does he get a bye to the semis too?
Listen, if it comes out that this is a trials, no, because Jaden and Kyle in this example will 100%.
Jordan and Kyle.
Jordan, Kyle, Jaden, any combination of really good wrestlers will go to the October event at Iowa and make the team.
If it's a qualifier.
Yes. So they're not going to pass on it. They're going to go. I don't think it's a disaster because all these guys are going to go if it's. As long as they're healthy, right? They're going to go.
Well, what if they hurt their seed?
No. All right, listen.
I understand what you're saying.
They're not going to go if it's not for Worlds. If it's for Worlds, they'll go. So they're going to make the decision based on what it's for, and that's not. They're not going to decide October 9th. This is for Worlds. This is not. It's going to be known in September, right? So with that,
I see what you're saying. But they still don't have to go, Christian. Even if there is a world, they still don't have to go. Jordan Burroughs is still the number one seed if he does not go to the October World Trials and the December World. He's still the number one seed in April of 2021.
Not if Nolf wins Worlds in your example, or Dake wins Worlds in 2020, they would have to honor that and give him the bye, not Jordan.
Really?
He's a returning world. He's the world champion from that year. How would that not be the case? That is the trials process.
So it does. So you're saying it does affect seeding then? Because Jordan would be bumped down. But Jordan would be bumped down for not going.
Yeah, but I said when you asked if it affects seeding, I said yes, it affects seeding.
Yeah, but you also said that if the guys don't go, you said they would not go because it would affect them negatively, not positively.
That's if it's not for anything but just a mat time. If it's a mat time open, then yes, there's no benefit to them going. If it's for the world team spot, there's tremendous benefit to them going.
Oh man. I think USA Wrestling needs to write this up very, very carefully because this sounds like it could be a Pandora's box of disaster.
Wow, very apocalyptic from Ben Askren.
I would write this one up very, very, very carefully about guys who are previous medals going, not going, how can it affect seeding, all of these things.
Should they get legal on the horn?
Duh. Absolutely. Legal better be the damn meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we talk? We can bounce around as we do, but we should talk about the event, the matches, etc. Let's just go in order. Alvarez Vito. Alvarez, hey, he got his four. He made it interesting for a little bit there, but then I think the match went kind of how we thought it would go originally, with Vito looking really sharp in the second period. Just so good at getting the legs. He can attack both sides really well and strong finishes.
I would say that. Hey, I knew I was going to forget this, but I'm not going to. We need to we need to go down who won the betting, because I think I won it. I'm not sure, but I think I did, because I think all my bets were correct. So,
so was CP's.
But I think I had more points than him, right? Because he only bet one. He bet one underdog, didn't he?
Yeah, he bet Dave.
Or, I'm sorry, he bet the favorite.
Yeah, I looked at this on Sunday, and all your guys' bets won.
Yeah, but if he bet the favorite, he has less points.
Yeah, money line for 10. Yeah, Ben would have won.
Yeah, because he had...
Give me your push-ups. At the end of the show, you guys both need to get on the desk and do your push-ups.
On the desk?
On the desk, you're doing push-ups? Okay.
Yep.
That's not sanitary. Okay.
Yeah, it's not sanitary.
Oh, whatever.
I'll do push-ups. Dang it.
So, yeah. I got all five right. Call me Ben, the Oracle.
I legit forgot everything about that until I was like, what is he talking about? What bets is he talking about until you brought that up? All right. Well, okay. No problem.
What was the one bet CP made? He bet Dake with the
Dake to
against
win.
The money line, correct? Yes. Yeah. And what did you bet, Bracky? I can't recall.
Darian Caldwell money line.
You went for the home run.
Dude, yeah, I was going for broke.
You got $0.
Okay. All right.
Well. Okay. So, Sammy Alvarez, man, he was winning 5-3 after the first period. That scramble was outstanding. The way he, I don't even know what you want to call the move. I mean, I heard Mike Mel call it a cow catcher.
But
he didn't even have
the chin, because he was like over under and
yeah,
just like
over under and then Vito was down on the mat and he kind of pitched him.
Yeah.
And so then, but Vito just started getting to his legs so cleanly in the second period. And that was a difference. I mean, he was getting just in attack after attack after attack.
Yeah. A lot more experience from Vito in the freestyle side, but just in general, when you can get the legs and finish that consistently, you're going to be tough to beat in any style, right? Okay. This RBY Mueller, what?
Wait. I don't know if you want to tell them what's in the doc, but when I look at this doc, Christian, oh my God, there's some fun matches for Vito Rujo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I look at him. I'm like, ooh, that's fun. Ooh, that's fun. Ooh, that's fun.
Well, Vito makes most matches fun because he will attack and he's going to mix it up kind of regardless. And that's why he can get down some points and he makes some mistakes. But over time in a 6-minute takedown contest, Vito's pretty good at those.
All right. I'm just going to tell you guys one match that I really like that's kind of the name's on the list. So the name being on the list means that person has shown some interest. We're not guaranteed they're going to wrestle, but they have shown some interest wrestling. The one that I think would be so much fun is Seth Ghost versus Vito Arruja. They're both going to be 57 kg. Like, I've been thinking about the match. Dude, that would be awesome.
Well, yeah, because you have the Mr. – I mean, Seth attacks a lot, but he'll also –
yes, high volume.
He'll also play the counter game too. And Vito, you know, is going to attack a bunch. So there's going to be tons of points on the board. If that match were to happen, we'll see.
And tons of scrambles.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be a wild match.
Yeah, and I think Vito's ability to finish is one of his best skills, right? He's just able to kind of like think through and figure out a way to get his feet on the mat and finish on guys. Okay. RBY Mueller. All right, I have kind of a Michael Scott moment here. You know how do you watch The Office?
I have, yes.
Okay, well, like Michael Scott, like basically falls in love immediately and then rushes to like the next. he'll talk to a girl at a bar or something, and then he'll be like, "I think I want to introduce her to my mother." Like he's like that. I'm kind of with RBY. I'm kind of like, I think he could really make a lot of noise at 57 kilograms. I watched this one match. Maybe I'm jumping to ridiculous. I think so. I know that he's not currently big enough to make noise at 65, yeah. Right?
No way.
But I'm saying if he can make 57, I think he could be a real interesting factor. I don't know to what degree, but there's not many people who can do the things that Roman can do. Now,
correct.
We got Spencer Lee. We got Dayton. We have some really, really good guys. And I know it was just one match, but I don't care. I'm on a runaway train, and maybe this is something. I mean, with RBY after
is that
after
a song?
Run, yeah, I think it might be Bon Jovi. But what was I saying?
But you're on a runaway train with Roman Bravo Young. You're in
with
love.
Roman. Like after he lost to Seth Gross, I said this guy can win a title, right? I just maybe am a little bit. I skew a little high with Roman, and seeing him get turns on top against someone as good as Jack Mueller, I don't know. You know, it's a July 25th match, and people's preparation levels, you don't really know exactly. But all I know is Roman looks super sharp.
Yeah. I thought he looked outstanding also. You know, I think I picked Roman. I just thought the matchup was not great for Jack Mueller. I feel like Roman was – I know you guys said Jack Mueller's heavier. So the way I look at it, I feel like Roman Bravo Young is going to have a very hard time making 57 kg, and that's something that, you know, Jack Mueller does regularly. And maybe he can get that small. I don't know, but I felt like there was a slight size advantage there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are these times, and this is like I was thinking of someone that was a comparison, but where when you watch him, you're like, oh my gosh, how is he not the champion, you know? And then you mm-hmm. look back at the results, and he's obviously really competitive with the best guys, but, you know, he lost to Seth Gross, he lost to Sebastian Rivera, he had the overtime match with Sammy Alvarez, and, you know, so he's like, it's not like he's far and away better than everybody. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be in the mix for a title at 133 pounds next year. Folk style wise, but there's a lot of hurdles for him to clear.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I think he's a factor. Obviously I don't think he can make the team yet. He's in several years, who knows where he is and how big he is, but obviously the talent is there to make some serious noise. Yeah. Caldwell versus Pletcher. You know, deep down, I thought Caldwell was kind of going to get teched.
Hold on, Christian. Number one favorite match for Roman Bravo Young on the sheet.
I forget.
There's a lot of good ones.
Give me some options. I don't have the sheet.
Okay,
up.
You know who I was gonna pick for him? I'm gonna pick Joe Colon. Joe Colon is a 57 kg guy, but he's really a 61 kg guy. And I think that would be a really interesting match. That would be obviously very telling of where he's at. You know, Nick Seriano beat Joe Colon at the Beat the Streets in 2019. I would love to see RBY versus Joe Colon. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. I think that would be a tough matchup for him.
Yeah, very tough.
But, no, I love that one. That's a good one. I can't find
the sheet. And let's see. Well, I just shared it with you. So,
I know. I'll find it.
I think maybe just search shared with me. But the other thing is just, man, Christian, this 133 the last couple of years, I still feel like we've seen almost all these matches, but I feel like you could freaking shake up some dice and throw them out there, and you're going to end up with a good match between Suriano, Fick, Sebastian, Gross. You're just going to end up with good – no matter who you roll, you're going to end up with a good match. You don't even got to be a great matchmaker. You just got to pick two numbers, and you're going to get a good one.
Yeah. Dude, Suriano, RBY would be fun.
Have they ever competed?
No.
No. Never. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
You got to figure it'd be close.
Well, I mean, Suriano, you know, both of them, I would say both of them, their thing they're most dynamic at is either down block go behinds or down block re-attacks, right? That was how RBY scored twice on Jack Mueller. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why the Fix Suriano match turns out to be so boring is Dayton Fix is disciplined enough where he's not going to take, you know, it's an errant shot on Nick Suriano. Nick Suriano's going to hit a down block go behind, down block re-attack.
Yeah,
and so that's why that match always turns out like that match turns out.
It's weird with Suriano and Dayton because going back to 2014, this was happening, right? They hit in Akron there. It was a 1-0 thing or something terrible. No real points were scored. I think it was only shot clock points in the order. So those two are just destined to not be able to take each other down. But I do think freestyle now would be a little more interesting with those two. But maybe not.
You got the edge, or why do you? Why
I don't know. Just a thought. I don't know why exactly.
You haven't seen him in freestyle, right?
Not since Akron in 2014.
Which we'll just discount that.
We can discount it. The reason you can't discount it is basically nothing's changed since then. They continue to wrestle and not take each other down. They can't score points on each other.
Do you think these two are the – if you got all matchups ever, and I think the answer is obvious because of one thing, least takedowns per minute when wrestling each other?
Man, they've got to be up there. That's
well, because they did the 30-some minute match. Number one with zero – or with one takedown?
Yes. No. There's probably no one like that, right? Someone gets a takedown.
I couldn't think of anybody.
Okay. All right. Where do you want to go? I don't want to start moving somewhere and you're not ready.
All right. Well, I think after we talk about the match, I think we should talk about, you know, maybe what's next or who would be exciting for that person. And maybe this is just my – Christian, I'm fired up. I'm like – well, I actually get to help make some of these matches. So I'm like, ooh, how about that one? Ooh, how about that one? You know, I'm looking at these like, ooh, this is exciting. I want to see this. And so that's kind of after every match, I want to like think about, hey, who could we pair them up against?
Yeah. No, I like that too. That's what we've been doing.
Christian, isn't this so great? Listen, at one point you were just a message board follower on themat.com. And now you are in a position where you get to control the matchups in elite high-level wrestling. I mean, I was a wrestling fan forever, and now it's like I literally get to try to match these people up. Like, it's so cool.
What a country. It's amazing. No, it is amazing. And shout out to thewrestlingtalk.com. That's where I frequented.
What's that?
It doesn't even exist anymore. It is now gone. It was run by a guy named Jacob Schlotke. I don't know if you remember him. He wrestled at Apple.
Oh, I lost to that bum at Fargo 1999. No, Fargo 2020.
Okay, well, don't call him
off the front side.
He
Fargo 2020?
No, he passed away, Ben. Jeez.
He did?
Yes.
Well, I don't know him like that well.
Obviously.
I'm sorry that he passed away. I was not aware of that.
I know.
But I did lose to him.
Yes.
And actually, I think I want to say this is so long ago. My details are getting fuzzy here. I believe he was setting the Minnesota High School State Takedown record while I was setting the Wisconsin High School State Takedown record. And there was some type of maybe competition, I believe.
Yeah, I think he won it too.
He won what?
I have no idea.
The Fargo. He did win the Fargo match, unfortunately.
That's funny.
Where did he end up going to college? Arizona State, maybe?
I can't remember.
Minnesota?
I don't recall. I thought he went to the U, but maybe he didn't. I can't recall now.
Maybe Arizona State.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, that was my message board. That's where I – but it doesn't exist anymore, sadly. So, yes, next match, Darion Caldwell, Luke Pletcher. I kind of thought Darion would get teched in this one. So he actually really put on – I could just tell. I watched Luke work out, and I could tell Darion had been really focused on MMA and not wrestling. I was like, this is good. And I thought Luke just in general was a really tough matchup for him, but, man – He gutted it out very literally, because he was tired early-ish into the match, and he didn't break, right? He continued to wrestle, and
it was really only 5-2. I mean 9-2, right? But that last one, Darion just tried jumping over him with 5 seconds left. So realistically, that match was 5-2.
Yes, yeah, that's a respectable result for sure for Darion, and I think. For Darion to win, I think Luke had to enter some positions, and he just did a great job of not getting into those. He kept it. Darion could not get to his legs at all, which was somewhat predictable. But then Luke really didn't engage with leg attacks. He was just all short offense, where Luke is so, so good. And him just running around and getting those takedowns and go-behinds were the difference there, right? And you know, if Luke gets in on a leg and Darion can get a little creative, or Darion gets in on one, you know, who knows what happens. But Pletcher had a great game plan and executed it perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, that was – that's what – I would say the same thing. is that Luke Pletcher had a great game plan and executed perfectly. I thought Darren would fall off a cliff. You know, I can't remember if I said on the show, I said, I think at 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, I thought he was going to crash hard. Dude, he really impressed me. This guy hasn't been on the mat in almost a decade. I thought he wrestled really well. Luke Pletcher is looking really good this year. And I was impressed. I mean, really, in my head, it's a 5-2 match. And Pletcher used the strategy that he needed to use in order to win that match.
Yeah.
Darion definitely left it all out there. He came in the back and was puking his guts up for like 10 minutes.
We've all been there.
Actually, when's the last time you puked? I'll tell you, I've only puked one time ever working out, and I'll tell you about it if you tell me your time you puked.
Last time I puked, I don't know. I don't know.
From working out. Well, I don't puke when I get sick either.
I've puked from sickness, but it's been so long. I don't really get sick anymore. Just decide to quit doing that. Let me think.
I just have this policy where I don't get sick.
Yeah, that's why I used to have a policy. I was like, yeah, I'll get sick. And I just decide not to do that anymore. Man, maybe during a wrestling practice I was coaching but also participating in. Maybe. I really can't remember. I definitely, when I ran cross country, I used to puke, like in races and stuff. But, and after maybe a practice or two. But it's been a long time, I think. What brought you to the point of vomiting, Ben?
Oh, man. I got an interesting email that I probably shouldn't discuss on air. But, well, it's I mean, it's sent to 27 people, so I might as well just say it. Christian. F it. I got an email that just says UWW juniors and U23s are October 23 through 25 now.
The World Championships?
No, the USA
trials?
UWW.
Trials?
Oh, they're not in September?
Listen, I literally just got an email, blink, popped up, and that's what it was.
Interesting. That's the first I heard. Where yes. at?
It just says Ohio does not have a location.
We'll figure it out. Somewhere in Ohio. Yeah. Bracky, did you...
I wasn't a big throw-up-when-I-work-out kind of guy.
Not a hard worker. Ben, when did you
Some
throw up?
Some people would say that.
Oh!
No, just joking.
So the only time... I don't throw up ever sick or working out. The one time, once, I was not sure what I was in for the first stadium I ever did at University of Missouri. And, you know, I had a nice solid lunch, say, you know, 1 o'clock, 12:30, and we had stadiums at 3:30. Now, stadiums would go on to be, you know, the worst enemy of my entire life. They are very, very bad things. I puked my guts out in the first stadium ever, and then obviously I never ate like that, you know. I probably would eat breakfast and then, you know, save
not What had you eaten prior?
I don't even remember what I ate for lunch that day, but I remember from then on I wouldn't really eat lunch, right?
I would had
you
a know, monster eat a big like breakfast.
Oh no, definitely not. Wouldn't do that.
By the way, Cody Arnold hit us with the top 3 takedowns in a season in Minnesota history. Jacob Schlocke with 446. The year before that he had 436, and then Zach Sanders in 2006-07 had 426.
They just have to end on that 6. Yeah. It's a weird Minnesota rule. Otherwise it doesn't count. Wow, that's pretty good. That's a lot of takedowns.
How many was it?
446.
Damn it. How many matches did he have?
I don't know.
20.
No.
How many did you have, Ben?
I had 400. I had 401, and I was 39-1 that season.
Mm. Well, they always said Ben Askren is the Jacob Schlocke of Wisconsin.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, that's...
Oh, my goodness. So, Bracky, you weren't a puker?
I really wasn't. It's not a big puker.
Yeah, someone said on there that I dry heaved after the Murph. A dry heave is not a puke. I was definitely at a breaking point.
It's not a puke.
Nothing came out. So,
are you sure?
I was like, you know, burping, but I did not.
You're attempting to puke, though. You're attempting.
Yeah, your body was trying to, and there was just nothing in there.
You can't prove intent. You don't know if I was attempting to. Perhaps my body was just releasing.
Your body was in fact attempting to.
It was attempting. I rejected it. Therefore, it didn't happen. Therefore, I didn't puke. Nothing left. It was just there's some poisonous gas that had to be removed, and then I was fine. Okay. David Taylor. Well, wait. Do you want to talk about who these guys could wrestle next? I want Luke Pletcher to wrestle Nick Lee. That's pretty obvious, though.
Luke Pletcher to wrestle Nick Lee. We have not. I don't believe we've had any interest from Nick Lee. But yes, obviously that is probably the number one match that we'd love to see him wrestle. And the other one that I'm really interested in would be I think Jaden Ironman would be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, that would be a good one. Okay. Yeah. And Darion, we need to get him someone that's not like in the middle of their wrestling prime. We need to get someone else that's like, you know.
We've had some interest from, you know, former wrestlers that are in MMA. We should just have like an own separate division for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bubba versus
Darion. Let's go.
Did Bubba say anything?
No. I don't know. Maybe he did, but I'm just saying it.
So Michael Chandler expressed interest. Is he too big for Darion? Probably, right?
He's kinda big.
What was the weight class for Darion and Luke?
149.
And Darion was actually kind of cutting to get there. So maybe yes, he not. Was. Maybe they could wrestle at like 155 or 160. Because Chandler fights at 155, wrestle at 157.
Yeah, that could be cool. That could be cool. I kind of like Bubba. Bubba a little more. They had that awesome NCAA semi in 2008.
Yeah,
that was fun. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next up, David Taylor versus Miles Martin. Oh my goodness, David Taylor!
Oh my goodness,
he looked great.
I mean, I think we all thought you put the line at nine. Well, Spey put the line at 9.5, and I think we all knew it was going to be a tech fall. I really thought it would be, you know, a battle. You know, they would go maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where it was, you know, relatively scoreless. And then David would start finding his rhythm, finding his flow, and just scoring takedowns, right? That's kind of what I thought it would look like. And that was not what it looked like. It was a freaking bloodbath.
Yeah, it was. Here's my question. How many people in the world at 86 kilograms can keep David Taylor to not tech him? I mean, I think Yazdani. The list is...
About it.
Huh? Yazdani? Who he has teched or pinned.
Oh, he pinned
him. Who else? He pinned him, but yeah, it was competitive until that point.
Sometimes Tor Blanca, Caralta.
Yeah,
The Russian. I mean, I bet it's under five people can keep him from a tech, right?
Yeah.
Everyone else is just, they're going to get teched. And then David calls out Sagulayev, which would be insane and amazing. A couple of things. It's like, one, how do they make the weight work? Because he's big. Sagulayev's big. And every ounce he cuts down closer to David gives David more of an advantage, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would think that David, and I don't think I discussed at depth, you know, David, besides not giving me any Penn State secrets, even though I was being, you know, a couple of my wrestlers picked up on that. They're like, David, I was getting annoyed that David wouldn't answer all your questions in the interview. But I would have to assume that David, if he's going to call out Sagulayev, which he did, that he would have to know that he's going to have to move up a little bit.
Yes. Yes, for sure. He weighed in it with clothes on at like 199 or 198. So,
yes.
Obviously, it wasn't a cut for him to be – to be at 200. Around 200. And he looked good. You know, that was one thing. When you're up in weight, sometimes you can look sluggish. Or, man, he looked super, super sharp. I don't know what else there is to say about the match. It was...
That's it. David looked so good.
And there's only a few guys, really. If you're looking for matchups for David, there's a few. There's Sagulayev, obviously. To me, one I'm interested in... There's two others, and they're kind of his teammates, Kyle Snyder and Bo Nickel. I'd love to see him wrestle either of those guys.
That would be awesome.
And, of course, Jaden Michael Tabori Cox.
Yes.
Renew that rivalry.
That's another one where he would have to probably go up some weight. Jaden's obviously been at 92 in the off years, but now he's stated his intention to go up to 97 kg. So I'm going to assume that David would have to go up probably past 200 pounds to make that happen.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. Okay. So we talk about who David could wrestle. Now, let's go to the main event. Kyle Dake versus Frank Chamizo. 4-3 win for Kyle Dake. Ben, I want to get your thoughts, and then I have some thoughts as well.
Uh-oh. I go first? I thought it was awesome. I thought that there was a very good chance this happening. You know, but people thought Frank Chamizo was going to get blown out. Frank Chamizo doesn't really get blown out. The match was right there at the end. You know, where Frank got in on what would have been the winning takedown. He even got Kyle Dake to his butt. I thought there was a relatively good chance when he hit him on his butt that he was going to score the 2 points, whether it be from an exposure or a takedown. And then Kyle Dake did what Kyle Dake does and found his way out of it. And he won the match 4-3. I thought it was an awesome match. Really excited. Really exciting. And I love watching both of those guys compete.
I agree. I think the match materialized the way you knew it could, and the way you knew if it did, Dake would win it. And he is just built to win those kinds of matches. Those calculated chess matches almost always go his way. And
yeah.
Frank, to me, I think waited a little long to start his attempt and to get his leg attack off. And I think, yeah, you know, obviously he ran out of time. He was on the shot. I thought it was really funny how the last minute he was like grimacing in pain and acting like he was hurt, like just.
Oh, we knew it. You guys, I was listening, like, to you guys.
He's playing possum.
You knew it.
Yeah,
you knew it. You knew Dake didn't fall for it.
I thought both guys were ultra respectful. If you watch a lot of Chamizo, he takes all these hard step jab fakes. Like, he steps so deep. He wasn't doing that as much against Dake. Dake was not getting a lot of attempts off. He didn't get to Chamizo's legs other than the ankle pick that he just kind of stepped out of. So I thought that was very telling. I thought there was a chance he'd be able to get in on Frank a little bit easier. And I think it was a combination of Frank probably surprised him a little strength-wise, positionally, and another was Dake not wanting to volunteer to enter his wheelhouse either, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to avoid someone's strength, you're not going to shoot on their leg maybe necessarily. But the exchange of the match, the exchange that decided the match, I didn't realize at the time, but you got to look at this. So Chamizo gets the clear exposure.
Is there any way that we can play it on FRL or no?
Tyler, if you could pull up Dake Chamizo, it's in the early second period. It's the big scoring exchange where Chamizo exposes, Dake comes out on top, and then the gut wrench happens. But here's the thing I didn't realize at the time. For whatever reason, I normally am thinking about this when I'm on the call. Kyle Dake was on top for 16 to 18 seconds.
And that's got not the gut. That bad, though. Someone else brought that up.
That is a ton of time. That is a ton of time.
Really?
It was like seven to 10 seconds is how much time you get on top.
So I always thought it was like 15 to 20.
I don't think it's that much. Yeah. I thought it was much shorter than that typically. It seemed like a long time to me. It seemed like a long time. Maybe not. I know Coach Kalika certainly thought it was way too much time. But I didn't think about it at the time. I thought it was... Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit of because it was an unorthodox way. It's not like he got a takedown and worked on top. It was like an exposure and then a long scramble, and then he ended up on top. Here, right there. Let it go. You're at the spot right now, Tyler. You can play from right there. It's fine. So we're going to look at this. There you're seeing. Yeah, he can. Yeah, I hear you.
We hear you.
Okay. Oh, Ben's audio is done. Oh, weird.
Weird.
All right, we'll get Bader. Or
all right, we're good. They said we're good.
This is fine for okay. You can maybe cover. So right, he's on top at 206. He's on top.
He gets on top, but he's almost turning him here, right? This is not. It's not super close, right? But he's making an effort. Now he's doing that thing. Now he's popping up on top. Now he's going to a gut wrench, trying to get his leg out. You know, like I no, that's not too long. Sorry, okay. It's not. There's no way. Christian, tell me, watch that and tell me that's too long.
I mean, I kind of did and then didn't. You know, I don't know.
You just watched that. What'd you think?
I mean, at what point do you blow it up? How long do you give a guy a chance to turn on top? He got to work really hard on the left side gut, work really hard. He got to set, take a couple seconds, reset his gut to go the other way. Yeah. That
I think.
Fine. Well, we need to find.
We should just rematch him.
We could do that.
You know I want to.
You know Frank wants it. I don't know how much Kyle's volunteering for that matchup. I think Kyle called out Burrows and Sitikoff, right? I think he's like, okay, I beat this guy. What's the benefit to Kyle to do that match again, especially in on a tight turnaround, right?
To wrestle.
Would also, 74 kilos, to me, this is very hung up on this. Like, that will make a big difference. Yes. I really don't think it will. Like, I mean, the day before, they both did workouts, and after the workout, Chimizu weighed more than Dake did. Like, it's not that terrible of a cut for Dake, and I don't think it makes that much difference in the match.
So,
yeah. Edgemendia is saying anything over 10 seconds is bad. He's in the chat.
He's right. He's right.
He might be biased. Well, he's Cuban, though. And,
he's not biased. Frank's
Cuban, so.
He's not biased.
Christian, 10 seconds, you know how fast that is? The guy on top is working, if the guy on top is actually working for something, I think they should get 15 to 20.
Dan did this. I'm getting it from him. He'll send it to me. I know.
I did not realize it was that long either.
Me either.
Like, watching live, it did not feel like that.
It doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a limit, and you can't give a guy 20 seconds on top, period. It's not 20 seconds.
If they're working, I don't have an issue with the amount of time that they spend on top. It was
16 seconds. If they're turning, I don't have an issue.
Attempting. If they're working to a turn, I do not have an issue. If they just sat there, it would feel really awkward.
I will say this too. I think Chimizu had a lapse there. I don't think he was gonna get turned.
Yeah.
I felt like he was like, okay, this is gonna come up. He tried hard on the left side, then he reset, and I think he was set back. I don't think he expected it to happen. Right?
I agree.
I think he lost focus in that moment. That was a part of it. One, it was too much time, in my opinion. Two, he lost focus, so you get what you get, right? Don't get gutted.
So in Nomad's study, I would like for him to restudy it and throw out all the times where the dude gets on top and doesn't try.
All right. I know that
so many times when guys get on top and don't even try.
All right, he said 7 to 10 is about right. Greco's different; they allow way longer on top, 15 to 25, depending on level of effort. They gave him Greco-esque length of time. So, because I remember like a year or so ago, he did a study and I argued with him. I forget what I thought, if it was longer or whatever. He's like, no, dude, it's 7 to 10 seconds. And
it would be really fun, Christian, to redo this study. Maybe Spey loves international wrestling, but to have it where a guy actually gets a turn, and what is the average length of that? Because again, there's so many guys who don't even try. When a guy is really, really trying, I'm telling you, I bet it would be closer to 15 seconds.
Okay, I bet not, but that is a good Okay. That is a good hypothesis, and I'm willing to be wrong. And why don't you just hire some of your Askren Wrestling Academy guys to do a study like they did the freestyle one?
Hmm. We could do that, maybe. So when they got on top, we'd have to, you know, we'd have to actually judge that person's effort. Are they actually trying to turn? Because there's a lot of times when people aren't even really trying to turn.
You're right.
A lot of times.
You're right. So we'd have to find all the guts and then take it from there. And it should be like world-level competition. It shouldn't be like, you know, Fargo or
Yep, stuff like that. Not Fargo would be out. I mean, there was one time when my guy got left on bottom for 55 seconds. I had to, like, walk on the mat and be like, what's going on here? It's literally been a minute. Like,
he literally had riding time.
I think you fell asleep while you're standing up, referee, because, like, I've been yelling at you for the last 20 seconds, and it's been 35 seconds, and now it's been 55.
They were spiting you. They were spiting you.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I think it's probably more likely that this guy was like just asleep, literally asleep on his
feet. 55 seconds? I need this video.
55. I think it was Jagger Eich. It was definitely a really little guy. It was the same North Carolina kid beat two of my guys.
How do you spell his last name?
Eich. And it was
at Fargo?
It was a North Carolina. Yeah, it was a North Carolina kid. I want to say 2018, I think.
All right, I'll try to find this.
Okay,
he's on the case.
It was a North Carolina. So the North Carolina kid, whoever it was, he beat two Wisconsin kids that I was coaching.
Jagger Eich wrestles a lot. I'm learning this about Jagger Eich.
He's pretty good. He's going. He's a state champion. He's going to go to the University of Minnesota. Pretty tough.
Okay, here. Yeah. Maybe against Richard Trainer. Was it on a green mat?
I think Richard Trainer. It was the one corner. So what's that? I think it was on mat two, I believe.
Ben's
possibly
in the corner.
Mat three.
Ben's in the corner. Double claps. All right.
Okay, he gets. I think this is the mat.
He gets taken down 10 seconds in.
Uh huh.
Okay, I don't know that it was right away.
Well, he did get taken down. He's still on top. Yep.
How'd you find this?
It's been about 20 seconds.
There's a way to search. Oh, my.
Is this the time?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Send this to Tyler. This is amazing.
This is I'm telling you about. Walk on the mat, stop the match, because I'm like, it's been like 45, 55 seconds.
To be fair, he just turned him now. But he was
after like 45 seconds, Christian.
It was like 30.
Ben is yelling at the ref right now.
He's still at bottom, isn't he? How long has it been?
Yeah, it's almost a minute.
He blew him up, but then gosh.
It's been like a minute. I was like, come on, bro. What are you doing over here? This is ridiculous.
All right, send that to Tyler.
And now the officials are talking to Tyler. This is a mess.
Oh, man. Get the cleaning crew.
Yeah, because they left him on the bottom for a minute, Kyle. You guys like how I remember that? My wife gets so annoyed where I have this, like, of things that are important, I can remember, like, every detail. Like, I knew what mat that was on. So one time she got really annoyed because I remembered every shot of a disc golf tournament that I took. Like, I could tell you exactly where it landed, what hole and everything.
Dang. That's pretty good.
Okay. Jagger Eich, mat two. I knew it was a North Carolina kid. I didn't remember. Richard Trainer's pretty good. I can't remember where he's going.
Hey, it looks like he's pretty good on top. You give him a little time, he can do some damage.
No, he's going to college somewhere. He's pretty tough.
Yeah, I don't know. But he looks pretty good. So maybe we'll do the chimizo gut or the date gut. We'll maybe do a little statistical analyzation of it.
All right, so he gets taken down here.
At 50, he gets taken down.
Are we really watching this?
We're really watching. We're committed.
There's Ben in the left.
I can't see the clock here, though.
It was at 50. It says 40.
All right, so it's been 10 seconds here. No turn. Not really a good attempt either.
He's probably ready for it to get blown up.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're at 20 seconds.
We're at 20 seconds now with no turn.
He's gone around the car. Oh, he turned him.
Oh, yeah, turned.
23 seconds he turned him. All right, now he's going back.
But now he's losing down for, like, forever.
Yeah. He should have gassed him from bottom, Gilman style. So you got another 15 seconds to get this turn.
So, yeah, it took him 35
seconds.
And he's still.
Oh, my goodness.
There's Ben. Ben is up. Ben is shoeless and angry. Look at him.
How long is he going to leave him there for? Guys, has it been a minute yet?
Yeah. No,
I mean, literally, how long has it been?
It wasn't a minute, but he was turning him. So the longest was the first. Oh, my gosh. Ben just.
I mean, it took him 23 seconds to get the turn.
And then 15 to get another one, and then a whole bunch more time. Like, you can't leave people down forever.
Well, now, hold on, Ben. You can't get mad what? At the fi- – you can only get mad at the first turn. That because that was 20 23
seconds.
23 seconds? 20 seconds. And well, you no, said so, – I mean, it was, you also, hold on. You said 15 okay, to 20 seconds was okay, and it took 20 seconds for him to turn
23 again. Seconds.
23. Ballpark 23 it.
The first time.
Okay, so that's the one you okay. have pretty good. But then after he gets the turn, within 15 seconds, which you just said is what you think is should be allowable. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's
well. I feel
okay.
like though, I, after the first turn, they usually only give you like a shorter time period, like to get the second one, because otherwise, if it resets every single time you get a turn, you could have like 2 minutes on bottom, Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's 20 seconds and then 20 seconds and then 20 seconds and then 20 seconds, I mean, the time adds up really fast. So I feel like once you get that first turn, you know, if it's 20 seconds. Then it's like you get like, you know, a 5 to 7 second window to get the next one. And if you don't get it, you don't get another 20 seconds. He got the second turn at 38 seconds.
Yep. Jason Bryant thinks the ref was from South Africa. I don't know what that means, but.
Maybe they have different rules down there.
International waters, as Jackie's typing. Yeah, who knows?
I only know one wrestler from South Africa, and that was that Heinrich Barnes who wrestled at Oregon State.
Is Raquel Vandermeer? South African? Did I just make that up in my mind? I think I might be.
Someone I thought he went me. To. Didn't he go to Blair?
Well, yeah, he went to Blair.
But before Blair, he was like in Florida. I think he might be.
Florida, the South there, Africa of America, as it's called.
Wow. So they're talking about in the chat. There is no official definition of it's just reasonable amount of time,
which is perfect.
So. Yeah, I mean, well, again, if a guy is giving effort or they're close, yeah, I mean, it is hard to say exactly when is the right time. But, you know, I feel like it's 15 seconds. For that first go, 15 and 20 seconds maybe.
Raquel Vandermeer, born in Pretoria, South Africa.
Also first, his full name is Karel Raquel Vandermeer.
Dang, that is a Karel? Fancy name. Hmm. Okay. So, Chimizo, the weighing thing was so silly because, like, if you don't know, Chimizo wanted the weigh-in closer to the time. Like, he wanted the hour weigh-in, whereas everyone else weighed in at three, yeah.
And
three
they
hours.
And they did an hour weigh-in.
Yeah, and they did an hour weigh-in. But it was all silly because neither of the guys were, like, cutting any weight at all. Like, it was, like, no
They both weighed
any.
In.
Yeah, well
1.2
under.
1.2 pounds under.
Dake did a very light workout, like, maybe an hour before weigh-ins and, like, was not – didn't have a ton of sweats on, was not going hard, and made it – they both weighed 78.4.
Yes.
Big shout Anthony Etchemendy in the chat. That's awesome. Thanks for listening, Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay.
So listen, I've told you guys this. I could watch these guys wrestle every day of the week. One of my wrestlers, they had the audacity to say the match was boring. I walked into the crowd and I slapped them. No, I don't really do child abuse, but I did want to slap them. Like, I did not think I love this match. I would watch this match probably once a week. If you guys put this on every Saturday, I'm in. I'm going to watch it. I think doing it 74, I think Kyle's right. I don't think it really changes it, but it adds the pot. Listen, but I'm not 100% on that. I'm like 60%. I don't think it changes it. But, you know, Frank, you know, Kyle was not cutting weight for 79. But Frank looked like, you know, he ate a few extra pizzas to get to 79.
Yes.
Like, Frank did not look as natural at that weight as Kyle did.
I agree.
So, you know, they were roughly, they both weighed in roughly 9 pounds above 74 kg. So, you know, I think very, very easily Frank could weigh that a little more naturally. Kyle, maybe Kyle can too. I'm not sure, but Kyle looked really lean and really natural at 70, whatever weight, 78.4.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't think it changes it, but I'm not 100% that it doesn't change it. And I would just love to watch these guys like every day.
Yeah, I think it could be a factor. I think 74 could make things a little more interesting. I think at the Pelican was like the last time Dake made 74. I think the word was that, you know, he made it obviously and he won, but it was tough for him. It wasn't an easy thing. And as you said, you know, at 79, Kyle looked lean. There didn't look to be much to come off of Kyle Dake at that point in time. So, yeah, 74.
He looked great, yeah.
Yeah, he looked great. So, 74 could be a factor for sure. I mean, 5 kilos.
So let's do it again.
No joke.
Let me talk. I know you said no to Barry Christian, but let me talk you into this one live on air. I want to see it again. I want to. Listen, there's a backstory. Frank's complaining about the weight. Kyle says it's no big deal. So let's just do it at the new weight class. That is the weight class that they're going to wrestle at. Man, this match, number one, was a 1-point match. Number two, it came down to the wire where the guy who was losing by one almost won within the last couple seconds. There's a little bit of heat here. Listen, if you guys want to run this back, I would do it. I'm in for it again. I loved it. I thought it was fun. I like both their personalities. Yeah, I'd watch it at least one more time, but probably more than one more time.
Yes. I mean, listen, what you're hearing is it's not no. It's just not maybe next, right? Dake wants – I mean – why not Burroughs? Why not Sidikov first? Why not wait a little bit to run that back? Give it a little time. Let it breathe a little bit. And secondly, I don't see these guys making 74 on a, you know, quick turnaround. Like, that's going to – that'll take some doing, especially from Kyle's perspective.
Why
that's
don't
my
they
hypothesis.
Do,
I don't know that to be true.
Hold up. But international wrestling is morning of, correct?
Mm-hmm. But you
so
could
why
go
– why don't they do
– but no, it's like morning of, but it's not like you you weigh in the morning and then you wrestle in the evening. You weigh in the morning, you wrestle in the morning.
But the second day you do, correct?
Yes. If you're
because
like
the second day, if you make the finals, you're going to wrestle in the morning. I'm sorry, you're going to weigh in the morning and then wrestle. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't see why we can't have them weigh in at 74 kg in the morning like they would in a real tournament.
Yes. I don't know. We'll see, but
okay.
Dake has his sights. I'm sure that Dake won't be signing up for that match, on a quick turnaround, right? Like, why?
He did get paid relatively well to wrestle a match. Maybe he wants to get paid relatively well to do another match.
Relatively well.
It's relative, right? If you're a billionaire, it's probably not very well. You know, if you're a wrestler, maybe you're saying ching ching.
Amen. Okay. Any other thoughts on the card? We've talked about potential matches.
My man John Kozak.
Your
said
man
the match
John Kozak. The tables have turned. You turned him into HR not 3 months ago, and now my man, my bro, John Kozak,
my buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, he wants, this is the one I'm so in for this. I would love it. Nolf Chamizo, I know you guys said, you know, maybe not yet because Nolf hasn't accomplished on a national level. Dude, I'm so in for that. I think it would be so much fun. And Jason Nolf, he wants to, he's a wrestler. He wants to wrestle.
I hear that. I love Jason Nolf. I don't see how that matches competitive necessarily because – I mean, he couldn't get to Jordan Oliver's legs. And then there's Frank Chamizo, right? So I just don't.
Did he get to Frank Chamizo's legs?
Jason,
he'll get to his legs. Could he score on his legs is the part.
You think he would get? I don't know. Kyle Dake could barely get to his legs. Why do you think?
Well, he didn't try that many times. Kyle Dake didn't try because he knows it's not going to be easy when you get there. Jason Knoll's probably going to throw caution to the wind most likely and just shoot and see what happens, which could turn out obviously poorly for him, 100%.
Yeah. And you know what? I should not let one match cloud my perspective either.
Seriously, don't be such an idiot.
Yeah. Okay, I was an idiot. I'm an idiot.
Wait, Jason, what match are you talking about?
The J.O. Knoll match. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. It was absolutely awful.
But yeah, maybe it's one time thing. He has an entire volume of being a, throwing caution to the wind. I should throw that out. Shame on me.
Jason Nolf has like, you know, seven good matches for every one bad match or something to that effect.
Probably even better ratio than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about.
There is a bad Jason Nolf match every once in a while, but not very often.
Yeah. Hayden Hidley gave him the tough match in the semis. the 1 year. But yeah, anyway, hey, we announced the Who's Number One card. Pat Brucky's in the transfer portal. We've got a lot to get to still yet. Do we want to?
Maybe even started questions either.
Haven't even started questions.
Well, so maybe we got two more days, thankfully, if we have to.
Yes, thankfully. So we announced Who's Number One. I am not deep in these high school streets like I once was, but everyone is like, this is absolute fire. And some of my favorite guys are going to be wrestling. I cannot wait for this. We're having a 138 group of four. Shane Van Ness, Jordan Williams, Joel Vanderveer, and Jesse Mendez. That's amazing. Jordan Titus versus Dean Peterson. Victor Voinovich versus Jagger Condomitti. Keontae Hamilton versus Chase Horn. Kyle Haas versus Nick Feldman. Kyle Haas, the brother of Tyler Caldwell. Mm-hmm. Cody Chittum versus Wyatt Henson. Seth Shoemate versus Tate Piccolo. Kennedy Blades versus Amit Elor. Nick Bouzakis versus Ryan Crookham. Fire. Patty Gallagher versus Travis Master Giovanni. Richie Figgs versus Drake Ayala. Kind of like a challenge match because they're not at the same weight. Alex Facundo versus Kyle Valencia. And then the 138 finale. The winners will wrestle. So amazing, amazing card. It's October 3rd here in Austin, Texas for the first time ever. It was very cool to do an event and then just drive home the night after. It was like really, really weird. Because normally it's like, all right, I need to find some food and it's midnight and where am I going to eat? And also I have to be up in 4 hours.
Well, we did find some food after you left, Christian.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, you know, Mike Mallard Pizza just took, like, forever to get there.
Yeah, we were really confident it wasn't coming, though.
Yeah, at that point.
It did show up eventually.
I thought our pizza had been compromised, so I just drove home. But, man, Ben Askren loves food. This guy is –
After I get my new hip, Christian, you will have to make me wrestle a match, so I have to make weight so I cannot get too fat.
Okay, here was my thought. I think there's a weight you should have to make before surgery. Because you're not going to be able to do anything after surgery, right, for a little bit.
I don't think it's very long before you can start riding a bike and doing some other things. I think it's like 3-4 weeks, and then you can start riding a bike and doing that type of stuff.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay, I'm less concerned now. But yeah, no, we go out for dinner and an ice cream. A couple hours later, Ben's like, we should go get some ice cream. Then we got some ice cream. It was really good. I was really glad you made
it. It was really good ice cream. Yeah, we should have got some ice cream.
Yeah.
What are you, a communist?
No, not at all. We went to Manoli's.
Okay.
It was like a food truck. It was really good.
Well, listen, literally, Austin, Texas just makes.
Shut up.
Me?
I love food trucks. No, remember he said he didn't like food trucks.
What's wrong with him?
They take forever and they're expensive. That's why. But for Manoli's ice cream is really good.
I would say Austin, Texas makes me hungry because up here in Lake Country, Wisconsin, we don't have all these good options. Like, I walk down one street in Austin, Texas, and I see as many good restaurants as there are in, like, the whole area here. It's annoying.
We went to dinner, then we went to a jiu-jitsu show, then we got ice cream. And while we were in line for ice cream, Ben got in line at another food truck to get food for later.
He ordered hummus.
He was in pursuit of this hummus the entire evening long, so he did double food truck.
I don't know if you guys know this, Christian, but we are in the middle of a global pandemic. And so now I have traveled the last two weekends, and both hotels, all food services are shut down. So, like, when you get to the hotel, you cannot get any food. So, you know, I was preparing myself to be hungry.
Yes.
I did eat that hummus. It was good.
Hummus is good. Hummus is good stuff. All right.
And on top of that, Christian, I went back to that place for lunch the next day.
Well, you had to eat somewhere. Nothing wrong with that.
I had to eat somewhere. It was good.
Perfectly.
I got Mike Mallon, his son, some chicken shawarmas. It's good.
Oh, man. I love shawarma. Okay. Hey, Pat Brucky in the portal. I did not see that coming at all.
I did not either.
Because they were like, oh, he's going to take a year or something, and then next
Joe Dubuque literally said the few weeks before that he probably wasn't going to wrestle because he needed a couple surgeries. So I don't know if things changed where he is planning on wrestling this year. I don't know if this is because he's scared of what the Ivy League is going to decide.
Here's what I heard. I don't know where I heard this. Now, yeah, I feel like it's You guys have your ears to the ground more than me. I heard that he doesn't want to not go to school. So he wants to go to school this year. If he does go to school this year, he's going to graduate, but he can't wrestle because he has injuries that he needs to get fixed. So once he graduates, then he's not, just like Chaz Tucker, he's not going to be allowed to wrestle at the Ivy League. So he's preparing for having to wrestle somewhere else in 2021, 22.
Got it.
That's
so
what
he's,
I heard.
He was going to go to school.
He's already listed as a graduate in the portal.
How could that be? He's only been 3 years in college. Can you graduate Princeton in 3 years?
If you,
I'm sure you can. If he's staying there all summer and doing stuff all summer.
Yeah, when did...
Huh.
Yeah, 27. He's class of 17, so 18, 19, 20. Dude, he literally graduated in 3 years.
Someone told me that's not true. That said, it's he's going to graduate this year, but he's got an injury. So he's in the portal as a graduate, even though he's not a graduate, because he will be a graduate after this next year.
Does Princeton give out associate degrees? That would be a real curveball, if so. I don't think that's what happened there.
Hey, what if we got the Illinois Mafia and both him and Real Woods go to Michigan? They're going to win it in Detroit then. They'll win it in Detroit. 2021. Sean Bormet should listen to our plan.
He doesn't want to listen. I think they want to go all in this year. Which
really?
Yeah, we'll see what we have this year. I'm getting more and more nervous about the season as time passes.
More and more nervous as well.
Okay.
I'm not.
Hey, what about those Marlins? Didn't 13 of them get positive coronavirus tests? But what I'm trying to find out is, did anyone actually get really sick? That's
not
what
not that I know of. No, I believe they just have it.
So it's like no one got sick. So it's like, I don't know. At what point are, you know? Obviously, I don't want to be frivolous about the loss of life, because a lot of people have lost their life to corona. But at the same time, it's like for athletes, it seems to not really be affecting them all that much.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, Bob Boltzmann, the commissioner of the Big 12, when asked if the Marlins outbreak or whatever changed his mind or would influence their decision on playing football, he's like, no. He's like, you got to expect this, honestly. Like, if you're planning on playing a season, you have to expect that at some point, some players on some team are going to have it. And you just have to.
Absolutely.
And I was seeing earlier in the day that the MLB was just going to do a complete shutdown, and I didn't understand how that made any sense when there were 28 other teams that had no positive cases or anything, but that didn't happen. They played. The other teams played and everything. Yeah. So they're just –
thank God.
But they're moving on.
And this is – yeah, and that's what they should do, and I think that's going to become the norm here, because like I know a team who had a whole bunch of positive tests, and I think 8 of them were completely asymptomatic. I mean, if they did not have to get tested, they wouldn't have got tested because they didn't feel anything. And so it's like, well, they were just been walking around like nothing was going on, you know, and how many people are they going to come into contact with? So how many other people right now are walking around asymptomatic and have it, but they don't even know they have it? And I think the answer to that is probably quite a few.
Yeah. I haven't been tested or anything, but I just think about the things I've done since this has happened. It's like, man, it's very unlikely I haven't come in contact with it. It's possible I've had it and no symptoms. As I said, I don't really get sick anymore, but I wouldn't be surprised if I had had it already. Happened to one of our content guys, tested positive for it. Zero symptoms.
Zero?
None. Nothing. None.
Yeah, and then the other sketchy thing is they're saying that there's a lot of false positives, which then adds into it's like if you're asymptomatic and some stupid test says you're positive and there's a decent chance that it's, you know, a false positive, then that adds to it like, why are we even doing the test if they're asymptomatic?
That happened with Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR driver. He like tested positive, but then the next 2 days he was negative each of those tests. So they're like, well, was the first one false positive or what? And he, like, they literally kept him from, he missed like his first race in his entire career because of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird. Okay. Yeah. Questions from friends.
And there's a lot of studies. Sorry, I'm getting fired up. And there's a whole bunch of studies that are saying asymptomatic people don't transmit the disease very much, which, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff on both sides. So it's we need to stop canceling stuff.
Wild times we're living in.
Wild freaking times. Why was Ben trashing Brackey on last Thursday for believing in aliens? Renowned physicist Michio Kaku said, "The burden of proof is upon the scientific community to prove aliens don't exist. If you don't believe, you either don't know the facts or you have your head in the sand." Wow. The actual this is now, to be fair, this is coming from an actual cannibal at Actual Cannibal One. So I wouldn't take this too hard. Yeah, they're announcing
That aliens exist this week.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
That's a thing.
So what do you have to say for yourself?
Me? Did I really say that aliens don't exist to Brackey?
According to an actual cannibal.
You didn't know. You were like, well, you believe in aliens, Brackey.
Yeah, I was probably messing with you. Yeah, yeah. I, you know what? It was always something I never looked that in much into. I would say that it would probably be more likely than not. And now, obviously, the fact that they're going to announce it makes it very likely that
I'm just wondering when the public apology from CP will come.
Listen.
What did he say? What did he say?
He has been dismissive from day one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think you should make him wear a shirt that says Brackey was right. And then yes, in the back it says aliens exist.
Oh, why? Because the U.S. government tells us something?
You were the one, too, that were like, I will be more inclined to believe all of this if, like, more... If, like, the Pentagon and stuff and army officials and stuff like that come forward with
this
stuff.
Let me read what they say. That, to my knowledge, no announcement has been given, and we'll see. And why come out with it now? I don't know.
Because they just had to release videos of it and be like, we can't explain this. This isn't from this Earth.
It's probably just a drone or something.
Not from the Earth.
Not from the Earth.
Not from the Earth.
Okay.
CP, not from the Earth. Where's it from? Who made it?
I don't know. We'll find out. Adam Rush, which Russian wrestler would you most want to see come out of retirement? Boltikayev or Sargush? So, for funniness, Boltikayev, because he gets so tired sometimes that he rests his weary head upon the referee's shoulder. He gets so tired.
Think about Christian. But think about how tired this man would get because he can't – the Russians probably took him off the medicine regimen once he retired. Yes. Think about it. I mean, he probably looks like garbage.
Yeah, it's probably not a good scene. Now, Sargush, on the other hand, I would like to see because JB owes him one. And he never got his chance because this dude never made another team and then retired. So I want Sargush to come back only to wrestle Jordan Burroughs so he can beat him and then be retired forever knowing that Jordan Burroughs was definitively better than him for all time. So that's my thought.
I'm trying to see what Sargush is up to these days.
Yeah, where even is he? He's probably just being an international Instagram? Villain.
Okay. He would be a great villain.
Q's from F's in Michigan asks, one, did I see you putting on a mask over another mask? Yes, that was a joke. Two, does Gabe Dean always practice in a singlet? Maybe. He has in the practices I've watched. A lot of these guys practice in singlets, though. Let's put on a singlet and throw a little T-shirt underneath.
Yes. David Taylor was.
Yep.
Did you find out about Sargush yet? Scott, I'm looking him up also.
Spay posted a picture of him in March with Victor Lebedev, and Sargush is wearing a Cleveland Cavaliers hat.
He looks good. He doesn't look like he's been living all that hard. He looks Sargush, him and Lebedev look pretty prosperous. I really liked Lebedev.
So is he a coach? Because he's posting like pictures from European Championships and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
he's coaching
wrestling.
I don't know.
Do you think he teaches his wrestlers the dirty tricks like singlet pulls and hair pulls and that kind of stuff?
He really likes that Cleveland Cavaliers.
He's wearing it a lot. Maybe
I haven't found that yet. He's got a lot of pictures of like teams and stuff here.
Is that him and Kendall?
It's him and Kendall Cross. And that's Gutsalov, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah, that is.
Dude, he looks trim in this picture with Kendall. We should be showing the people this.
That's from October 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he does not post all that. He does not post all that.
Here.
He's a dude. He's living life. It's kind of making me like Sargoosh a little more. No, I don't like. I don't like it.
No,
I
do not like Sargoosh.
I don't like Sargoosh. Look at these. He looks like he's a villain. He is a villain.
He is a villain.
Yes. Okay. Gage Curry, please give us Etchemendia versus Yanni. Thanks from everyone. That would be fire. You never
both
know.
Both of those guys have expressed interest in wrestling. Maybe not each other. Maybe each other. Never know.
You never know. Kevin Mulder, do you think that either Dake or Chimizu held back in their match? I would guess that both were trying to learn about the other in preparation for a future match in the Olympics. Thoughts? I don't know. I felt like they were both trying to win.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, Chris. I would say yes and no. Like, I think probably both of them didn't want to show all their tricks, but at the same time, both of them really wanted to win.
Yes. Yeah. Are you able to pay current NCAA wrestlers to compete in these events? If not, could you donate to their program in their name to compete? Currently, we are not able to pay them, unfortunately. Would be great if we could. I don't know how it would work with a donation to their program, but hopefully someday soon we'll be able to just pay these guys outright, because that would be awesome. Nice.
Can I ask you this question on air, Christian? Well, you don't know what question I'm going to ask, so I'm probably just going to go for it.
All right, here we go.
I asked you this question. Well, let's get to Bradkey, because I already asked it to you. I think that this probably is going to work out, I hope, for the pro wrestling thing. How many years will it be till someone forgoes eligibility in order to just wrestle professionally? Bradkey, what do you think?
In America.
Well, I think we got a while.
In America.
How long? Wow.
5 years, maybe?
That's what I said. I said 5 years.
If this like keeps going on the trajectory it's going, maybe 5 years.
I don't think 5 years is all that long, though.
I don't either. How long you been here? You've been here like
almost six years. Yeah.
You're almost seven.
It's been long. No, I'm just kidding.
Feels longer. I thought 5 years, but it could accelerate depending on how quick we're able to like scale this, right?
Yeah, and obviously, like, you know, maybe because we technically, Pico and Henry have kind of already done it a little bit to do the Olympic thing, where they forewent college eligibility to wrestle freestyle. So if there is someone who says maybe, they graduate, let's say, let's pretend there was a 2020 Olympics. They graduate March of, they were supposed to be graduating March of 2020. And so March of 2019, they say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to wrestle freestyle. So I have a year and a half freestyle experience before the trials.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to make the 2020 team. So I could see something like that also.
I could too. I think they're, I think one thing that's going to be considered, if there's serious financial motivation there, there is a branding component of doing the NCAA season and being on a blue blood team and wrestling on ESPN Saturday night. There's a real benefit to that. So that would have to be weighed.
To do it, I think you need to be someone that was coming up through high school, like a Gable or a Yanni or Spencer or Dayton, like someone that Nick Seriano that already had this massive following.
Oh yeah.
And brand almost.
Pico probably did it the best in terms of like, I don't think anyone had, maybe Spencer, but coming out of high school had the hype that Pico.
Mako.
Yeah. So that's a little before I really knew what was going on in this sport.
But would you guys say, and listen, you guys, I don't really get to see all the numbers. You guys do have a better idea. If we had the top 20 most popular U.S. wrestlers, how many of them are college age?
I was going to say half.
More than half?
Maybe more. At different times, more than half.
So obviously
it may be more than half right now. It could be 15 out of 20.
Yeah, it could be lucrative for some of those guys to do so, because I feel like it, who knows, maybe if we change the game and we make this professional wrestling thing happen, maybe it changes. But there's a lot of guys who graduate college and you just don't see them all that often, and so they lose They lose some of the popularity they had while they were in college. Because in college, you do see them, you know, on a fairly regular basis. And then after college, you might only see them once or twice a year.
Yeah, and maybe a few of those times they're wrestling in Europe, right? They're not even wrestling in a time zone where you're conscious. So it is tough when that's considered as well.
And maybe the move is to do, like, 2 years in college.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, build that brand and become a star and then make the move.
Yeah. A la, like,
NBA
with college.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't saying that they would forego all college eligibility. I was saying at least 1 year. You know, maybe it's their senior year and they've won a couple titles. You know, Nick Sirianni would be a great example. He's won a title. He already did the Olympic redshirting thing, right? And maybe he just says, you know what? I just don't want to go back to college. Give me some matches, Flo. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to try to make the 2021 team, and that's what I'm going to do. And then after that, I'm going to continue to wrestle pro. Maybe it's something like that.
Yeah. We'll see. It could be a good thing. Okay. All right. For Ben, how does Ben feel about Birkenstocks? And what is everyone's go-to wrestling shoe? Thoughts on Birkenstocks, Ben?
I had a pair about 20 years ago, and now I really just go with the flip-flops. They're a little too much there. I go flip-flops or I go barefoot most of the time, though.
There you go. Ben's, oh my gosh, his feet look like a dang war zone. He was here. Oh my, it's just.
I told you I climbed Rocky Mountain National Park barefoot. It was a terrible idea. I told you that.
You told me that. You didn't tell me it looked like, you know, the surface of Venus. It's just grotesque. It's unseeable. I can't erase it from my mind.
Well,
my
I lost my toenail on my left foot because I jammed it into some cement. I did not mean to do that at a different point in time. So, yes, my feet, they do go through some difficulties, you know, makes it tougher.
You know, I understand the whole, well, the caveman didn't have to, but there's a reason we've evolved beyond what they do and why we live longer than cavemen do is we make some choices that align better with some self-preservation. So would you throw on a pair of Asics or some sneakers and just keep
only my chainsaw?
Only when you chainsaw. It's the only way you wear something with. Kyle is just done with the show. He is just on the Sargoosh deep dive right now. Every time I look at his screen, it's Sargoosh in a convertible with sunglasses on or in a helicopter.
Well, so in 2015, he was at the Cormier-John Jones fight, and he was wearing a Break Bones hat.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's Team Cormier.
Nice. That's how it should be.
Amen.
Well, yeah, he's also in this convertible, and the driver's holding a very large gun.
Oh, my gosh. Tomorrow we'll do a Sargoosh Instagram deep dive.
That's how you do it.
So he doesn't like to post captions with his photos, but
he just posts
his
picture.
Bio, I was like, oh, I wonder if this would like say what he is, because it's in Russian, obviously. But it says, the wind is blowing, the mountains are not moving. That's his Instagram bio.
Dang. I wonder what that means. The wind is blowing. Huh.
I don't know. He's living quite a life. Looks like he got married in 2017.
Congrats, Dennis.
Good for him.
Yeah. Okay. That is a Japanese proverb.
Okay.
In case you were curious about that. All right. We can do maybe one more question here. Let me see which one we want to do.
Yeah.
Pyle and Kyle, how soon until the bad guy comes back to FRL? Can you imagine bringing Ben, Chael, and Sion together?
My gosh.
It'd be the last FRL we ever did. It'd be it. We'd be taken off the air.
Sion. Yeah, is mad. We saw him. He's mad at Christian for not letting him come on more often. And you guys should be mad at Christian too, because Christian is making you guys lose enjoyment of having Sion on FRL. Because it's pure laughs. He just makes you smile. He makes you laugh. And Christian, you're ruining that for us.
You know what, Ben? The last time we had him on, it was not me. It was not Bracky. It was you who were screaming, cut him off. Cut him off now.
Do you remember what he was trying to say?
Yes.
I was trying to save our show. Trying to save the show. This man, he went off the deep end. So, you know, listen, we got to know that might come to that point. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to play with fire.
Yeah, I guess so. But just let the record show. You tried to get our producers to hang up on Sion, not me. Okay, because I knew when we had him on. When we had him on, I know what I'm signing up for. I know what is going to happen. It is the reason I am cautious. And then you, oh my God, when you're confronted with the reality, when you see the train coming, you see the light, and you're on the tracks, you got a little scared, Ben.
Oh, hey, great news to end the show. Oh, Justin Gaethje, Khabib Nurmagomedov lightweight title fight, October 24th.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah, that's great news.
Who you got? Khabib?
Man, Gaethje looked really good in his last fight. He really did. I was not expecting to see that.
How did CNN break that news?
CNN broke that, CNN not broke Ariel? It.
They did? No.
He no, says,
I got it. Well,
Ariel says per CNN.
What? It does say per CNN. You're right. What the freaking?
Oh, per Bill O'Reilly. Fox
Ben,
News.
You're screwed in the
well, then I don't believe
MMA
it.
Media game if CNN's
if it's
involved.
Per CNN, no one watches those bums. More people watch FRL than effing CNN.
Hey, how about Ariel trying to say our numbers were photoshopped?
What numbers?
Seriously, what a bum.
Ariel tried saying no
one watches your show, so I put up, I clipped like four of our shows together, which had very high viewership, and he tried saying they're photoshopped.
Now I want to fight Ariel Helwani. You know, I was neutral. I was like, you know.
Yeah, listen, I'm in. I'm in for that fight.
I'll fight him. I'll fight him right now. Yeah. Who cares? All right. Well, let's get the heck out of here. It's 9:44 deep in the heart of Texas. We had us a show.
All right.
It
was fun.
Hey, thanks for coming, Ben. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening and watching and all the things that you do. Facebook commenting. Thank you, Dennis Sargoosh, for having an interesting Instagram. But that's all I will thank you for.
That's
it. Why don't you come back and lose to Jordan Burroughs real quick for me? That would be awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Much more to discuss,
I hope.
And if not, who knows where the show will take us. Thank you guys. Have a good Tuesday. See you next time.